in the book of John, chapter 13, he said, Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, do you say that? Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he had come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew he should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken their garments and was set down, he said unto them, Know ye what I've done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. He said, Know ye what I've done to you? It's amazing to me that I've met so many religious and so many people of a religious persuasion. They really don't know what he's done to them. Perhaps he hasn't done anything. I can't say. And so I would inquire, are you washed? You must be washed, or else you have no part with him. And I would wonder how it is that you'd have no recollection of what it is that he's done to you, if he's done anything to you. You know, I always quote 2 Corinthians 13:5, to examine yourselves, know ye not your own selves, whether or not Christ be in you. Examine your own self. One who is chosen has an experimental knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. An experiment, we use that word, but I don't think it sinks in. An experimental knowledge. In other words, I have experience doing this. Norm DeBrava, he's baled hay a bunch in his life. And you can talk all about baling hay, but until you've actually baled hay and done the steps required to do that, the wind rake and the twine and the baler itself until you have that experience, it's experimental knowledge. And you must have an experimental knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done to you. The Bible says, and here in the same book, the book of John, it says, the sheep hear his voice. Have you heard his voice? And it says he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. How can he lead you anywhere if you don't hear him call you? And if you have anything less than that, and I know this seems hard because I've had a lot of people come to me over this, is just religion or just some sort of religious belief system, just a mental assent, and it's perpetrated by a heart that is, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things. You know, the very highest profession of faith produces not conversion. For many, I say unto you, he said, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What an amazing statement. I believe it was Spurgeon, I don't remember, but I'd read this years ago, and it's spoken of how many are going to go to heaven from the very gates of hell. And controversially, how many are going to go to hell from the very gates of heaven? Or you might rephrase it, you might say, those going to heaven have often sad fears of hell. And it's so. While those going to hell, they have hopes of heaven. The old saying, we say, man, how surprised we're going to be when we get there, either place, heaven or hell, and who is going to be there. It seems as if those that fall closest to hell have a better chance of heaven, and those attaining to the highest heaven end up in hell. I only had one man when I preached in jails. He was a boy, actually. He was very young, maybe 18, 19 years old, and he believed he was going to hell. And I said, you know, he's probably the only one that'll end up in heaven, because all the rest of them thought they were going to heaven. There's a great verse of promise if you turn to the book of 1 Peter. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. He says, who are kept, he's talking about the elect, if you look up verse 2, according to foreknowledge of God, who are kept by the power of God. What an incredible thing. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Are you ready to be revealed? I mean, when he comes back, he's going to judge you. He's going to judge me. And nothing I have to say is going to have any merit for you, nor anything you have to say merit for me. You can't say, well, that man, he preached to me for 30 years and was such a blessing. Doesn't mean a thing on God's green earth about my judgment before God, you see. And so if you'll place something like that verse right there, kept by the power of God, you place that thing in your heart, and it'll be a most great comfort if you're of God's elect. How am I kept? By the power of God. He said, do you remember? He said, know ye not what I have done to you? Almost like a father, isn't it? If you've ever raised children. And kids, they're ungrateful rascals. We all were. And every father just wants to say, like Christ told them in our text, know ye not what I've done to you? I've spoken much lately concerning the religious. You know, Isaiah goes so far. If you turn to the book of Isaiah, back in the Old Testament, and near the end of the book, chapter 58, Isaiah 58 and verse 2. And he's talking about religious people here. I want you to keep that in your mind. He said, yet they seek me daily, and they delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, and they ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take delight in approaching to God. And yet these people were lost. Now you think about that. Is that not incredible? You see, they were not washed. Religious, beyond any we might know, beyond perhaps you and I, but they were not washed. In the verse, it says they seek God daily. Lost. They delighted to know his ways and did righteousness. Lost. They delighted in approaching God and even seeking his ordinances. Lost. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't even know you. And of course, that's the way it was in Matthew 7. Matthew 7, if you'll recall, we won't go there, but you can look it up. It said that they had spiritual gifts. These people had spiritual gifts. They'd prophesied. They'd cast out devils. They'd done many wonderful works. They had gifts, but they had no grace. Jesus said, know ye what I've done to you? As I once read, a man may preach like an apostle, pray like an angel, and yet have the heart of a devil. Grace and grace alone. The Latin, solo gracia. Only grace. Grace and grace alone. Know ye not what I've done to you? Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Know ye what I have done to you? Now let me say, conviction, you hear me? Conviction of sin is not conversion of sin. Let me repeat that. Conviction of sin is not conversion of sin. The likes of Saul, Ephraim, Esau, and Judas, they were just such. Convicted, but not converted. Wholly unconverted. The truly converted. The Bible says, the book of Hebrews said, are of the general assembly and of the church. I love this. This is actually the church, but by this thing, of the church of the firstborn. You must be born into it. Sorry, no members in God's church. We've only had two members in the history of this work in 20-something years. And I told him we didn't have members, but he insisted on joining, so we took him in. Two members, because you cannot, you must be born into the assembly. You must be born into the church of the firstborn. Know ye not what I have done to you, he said? Know ye not your own selves? Now you hear me, and you hear me good. Did you know that God can give a man another heart and yet that man be lost? Yes, sir, it's true. Such was Saul, old King Saul in the Old Testament. God gave him, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 10, God gave him another heart. You remember? And he prophesied, and the people said, is Saul among the prophets? Now you get that. God gave him another heart. But God didn't give him a new heart. And those that are in Christ Jesus receive not just another heart, but a new heart, wherein all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Any man be in Christ, all things are become new. Not another, new. And that's what I found most in religion. They get another heart, they receive some spirit, and they take that thing and believe because they have it that they belong. But they don't. They did these that we read. They did wonderful works, and they cast out devils, and they prophesied. And he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Know ye what I have done to you. So, you've had heart surgery, received a new heart, been washed, been converted, and know it not? That deceitful heart you were born with will convince you of anything. You shall be as gods. You shall not surely die. And today in the modern church, it's God loves you. Well, tell that to Esau, whom God said he hated. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved, through faith. That's the only way. It's the way I was saved, and if you're saved, bless God, it's the only way that you were saved. He said, not of yourselves, but it's the gift of God. Now, there's a very interesting verse. If you're still in the Old Testament, go back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 7. I haven't met many of these in my life, but they exist. Trust me. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 7. There was a group of men, and he said, howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into the hand. In other words, you could give these men all your money. You can give them the keys to the kingdom. You can give them the keys to the business. He said, why? Because they dealt faithfully. What a marvelous verse and testimony. Those that deal faithfully. Those that need be not monitored. They're faithful. And they do by a nature those things that are right, that are contained in the Word of God. Do you know what pleases God? I heard Jack Hiles preach this many, many years ago. Faith. Faith pleases God. You know what pleases a parent? Faith. An employer? Faith. And thus, the law, the Bible says, is for sinners. Are you a sinner? Well, you need to be born again. I was a sinner. I was. But I died. When the commandment came, just like Paul in the seventh chapter of the book of Romans, when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. I sent a message out to some of you this week. 6/3/1985, 37 years ago. 37 years in sin, 37 years in Christ. We sing the song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" How could I be there? Well, it says you're crucified with Christ. Know ye not what I have done to you? Know ye not your own selves? Now hear me. I know he's washed in the least the very feet of some of you. I know that. But I'm asking, are you altogether clean? Were you ever a sinner? Dirty. Walking according to the course of this world. But he said, no, but you're washed. Do you see that? But you are washed. Now you're going to return to the hog pen. That's what it says. Over there in Peter. He said they returned to the, like the dog to the vomit and the pig to the pen, to the mire. You know, there's only one person do right before God. And that person is you. No one else. Stop looking at other people. Stop thinking, well, if I was like him or like her, or that person there, they look like, you know, we do that with our earthly idols and such. But there's only one person can do right before God, and that person is you. No one else. When you stand at judgment, you. Where is Christ in you? Where are the works that he did in you? And more, even greater works, he says, you're capable. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Isn't that amazing? Now, we've been praying for various folks all week, and we do that on a regular basis, do we not? He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. He said, well, he doesn't do that. Well, examine your own self. You know that verse, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst of them. You say, well, I've never seen. Well, examine your own self. Know you not what I've done to you? So I ask, where is he? Do you want him here? See, that's a whole different deal. Man, most of them, they don't even want the preacher. How would they want Christ if they don't want the preacher? And not only in our midst, but in you, sir, you, ma'am, individually. Christ in you. Not me. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. Excuse me. Know ye what I've done to you? Know ye what I've done to you? Know ye not Christ is in you? Know ye what I've done to you? How can you not know that? I can't know. 37 years later, I can't know anything but that. And it's as fresh as it was 37 years ago. No expiration date. Eternity on the package. Know ye what I have done to you?